weeks. That's really lovely to be back with you all. So happy summer.
And I'd love to actually, where did that microphone go, Phil? Is that still there somewhere? I'm going to need that. And I'd love to get all the kids to come up the front because I'm going to need your help in this Lord's Supper talk, as always. So come and grab a spot here on the floor. And while you're doing that, if you're a visitor, our Lord's Supper services are a little bit different to what we normally do on a normal Sunday. Normally we have books of the Bible that we work through, and we have a sermon that really works through and tries to explain that set passage. And often what happens on our Sundays is most of our kids will be out in their various kids' programs. But on our Lord's Supper Sundays, we do something a bit different. First of all, we love to try and do something with as many of the kids in as possible, because at Summerlees, we see church as a big family. And that's really important to us. And that means all of you guys are just as much a part of the church as anyone else. And we think it's really great having you in with us. So we like to try and do a sermon where everyone can be a part of it as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. But the other thing that we do is, rather than going in our normal sermon series, we have a little break and we look and we zero in at the cross of Jesus. And each time we think about one big, amazing thing that Jesus achieved for us on the cross. So the cross is a great thing because it's so simple at one level that anybody can understand it. But at another level, you could actually spend your whole life meditating on the cross of Jesus and never run out of amazing things to think about. And so what we do is we take one big, mind-blowing, amazing thing and we concentrate really hard on that and we think about what Jesus did for us. So that's what we're doing today. So let's get into it. And we've all been on, you guys have all probably been on school holidays, those of you that go to school, school holidays, yeah? And holidays are great, aren't they? Because when you're on your holiday, what you can do is you can basically spend the whole time thinking about how you're going to have fun, can't you? Thinking about how you're going to find joy. It's really good. So you can think, how am I going to find joy today on my holiday? I know I might do this, or I might do this, or I might do this. And you can think about all these things that make you happy. So I actually thought it'd be interesting to ask a few people what they did to find fun on their holidays. And one person I was going to ask was going to be Mitchell. Mitchell, just come up. Because he's been on some sweet holidays, haven't you? What's a thing that you did to find joy on your holidays?
We went on a penguin tour.
You went on a penguin tour? Has anyone else been on a penguin tour before? A few people, yeah. People like penguins. Do penguins make people happy? Yeah, I think penguins make me happy too. Yeah, that's a very cool thing. I had a couple of bigger people I was going to ask too. So where's Isaac? Is he going to come up? Here he is. Everyone, this is Isaac. You may not have met him yet, but he's going to be working in some of your kids' groups and doing stuff with youth and all kinds of things. Isaac, what was something you did to find joy?
I came home. I was overseas for a whole year and I missed my family, so I came home and spent a lot of time with my family.
You hung out with your family?
Yes. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
I went surfing with my brother, went snorkeling with my mum. You know, it's been pretty cool. Love it.
Excellent.
Love water activity.
Water activity brings joy.
Yes.
Does anyone else like spending time with their family? Yeah? Most people? Yeah. Oh, it's not, maybe not most people. Some of us like spending time. Who else likes water activities like snorkeling and surfing? And yeah, lots of people. That's good. You have? Did you want to tell us what you did? What did you do?
My mum had to snorkeling
as well? Awesome, that sounds like really good fun. Not that bad. And who's the other person? I've got my Josh. Did you want to come up and tell us what you did? I thought it's good to have a few little people and a few big people as well. What did you do, Josh? Big Josh, that brought you joy?
I went surfing tons.
Yep.
And I went to a conference last week.
Oh, tell us about that.
It was massive. Youth conference in Sydney.
Yep.
I'd say like near 500 Christian youth.
Cool.
Around my age went. It was pretty sick.
And that brought you joy?
Yeah, it brought me joy.
Excellent. Wonderful. Would one more person like to tell us something that made them happy? What did you do?
We went to my friends and we went to the pool.
You went to the pool? Anyone else like going to pools? Yeah, especially when it was really hot. Well, that's great. You guys can go down now. Although you're nice to look at, you're not that nice. Yeah, so they're all pretty normal things, aren't they? Like going to the pool, going to the beach. Did anyone go camping? Anyone like camping here? Yeah, I like camping. I think that's something that makes me happy. Maybe you like sport, playing sports. Yeah, a few sporty heads. Does anyone like kind of, you know, doing things like drawing and crafty stuff? Yeah, a few drawing crafty people. Excellent. Well, they're all pretty normal things that you would do to find happiness and joy, aren't they? But this week, I was actually reading about someone who did some really strange things in order to find happiness and joy, okay? Put your hand up if you think you could find joy if you were hit with one of them. Really? I don't think I could. When I was a kid, I got smacked with a wooden spoon once for being a bit naughty, and that hurt. I reckon it would really hurt to be smacked with one of them. Or who thinks that they could find joy through having one of them on your head? See all the sharp spikes? Not me. Or who thinks they could find joy by being hung up on a cross? Not me either. Okay, but you know what? There's someone that experienced all of those things, and he went through all of them ultimately to find joy. I'm going to read you a passage from the Bible. This is from the book of Hebrews. You see if you can find the joy word in there. Read it along with me. It says, "For the joy set before him, he," it's talking about Jesus, "endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Can everyone see what it says there? It says that Jesus endured all of those things for joy. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty strange to me. I liked all the stuff you guys were saying. That's the sort of stuff that brings me joy. Not being hung up on a cross. That sounds like a terrible thing to do. So how does that work? Well, I'm actually going to tell you how all that works. But I thought before we do, because you've been sitting there very nicely and concentrating well, we go back to our seats, we'll get the music team up. There's a good chance to have a really good wriggle around if you're feeling a bit restless. And if you need to make some noise, you can sing really, really loudly. And we're going to have a big, loud, wriggly sing. And then I'm going to come back and we're going to actually look at how Jesus found joy through the cross and how he actually gives us joy through that as well. Please be seated. So how can dying on a cross bring joy? Well, here's the thing. It's not that Jesus actually liked being whipped with that whip that we saw. And it's not as though he liked having that crown of thorns put on his head. And it's not like he liked being crucified on a cross. Okay? It wasn't that those things themselves brought Jesus joy. But rather, what brought him great joy was what all of those things achieved. Okay? See, because Jesus died on the cross, a whole heap of wonderful things could happen. All right? First of all, Jesus actually could finish his time on earth and return to his Father. And that's a very joyful thing. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says this, "In your presence," this is talking to God, "In your presence, God, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And so I reckon Jesus was thinking, this is going to be great. I'm going back to the Father. There's lots of joy there with my Father. But as we just sung in that song, the cross also meant that Jesus could triumph over sin. He could beat sin. Through his death on the cross, the power of sin was actually broken, and he made it possible for everyone to be saved and forgiven. So I think that made him pretty joyful too. I think he was thinking, this is great. I'm going to finally destroy all of the power of the devil and sin and make it so people can be forgiven. But perhaps even more than that, he was looking forward to seeing people believe in what he'd done and say sorry to God and be forgiven and become part of his people. And it actually says this in Luke 15, verse 10, that there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? Just one person says, yes, Jesus, I believe in you, and God, I'm sorry for my sin, and I want to live with you as my king. And there's a huge party that happens in heaven. All these angels and everyone are rejoicing. It's fantastic stuff. So I think there's lots there that would bring Jesus great joy. But here's the really cool thing. Jesus wants you to share in that joy. He wasn't just going to keep it for himself. He actually wants to bring joy to you as well. And when you think about the cross, you can have great joy. And before Jesus died, he said this to his followers. This is from John chapter 15, verse 11. He said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." Yeah? So the cross is meant to give us lots of things to be really happy about and rejoice in as well. And actually, when you start to think about it, it does. It really does. Because of the cross, we also can come right into God's presence. Yeah, just like Jesus. Hebrews 10:19-22 says this. Let's read that together. Hebrews 10:19. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus," see, there's the blood of Jesus, there's the cross, "by a new and living way opened for us through his body, let us draw near to God." Now, in the Old Testament, the most holy place, that was part of the temple, where God was most present. If you were in the most holy place, it was like you were right there in the presence of God, and it was as close to God as you could possibly get. And Hebrews is saying that because of the cross, you can do that. You can come right into God's presence. You can be right there with him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But not only that, because of the cross, you can also see your life changed and transformed. Let's look at another part of the Bible, this time Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It says that Jesus gave himself for us. Okay, so there's the cross again, Jesus giving himself on the cross. Why did he do that? Well, he did it to redeem us from all wickedness and, look at this next bit, to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. See, when you come to know Jesus, he actually goes to work in your life. He starts to change you. And he changes what you think and what you feel and what you want to do and how you behave. And you become more and more and more like him. Now, that's something to rejoice about as well, isn't it? But perhaps best of all, because of the cross, we can also rejoice in a wonderful hope. Because the cross promises a perfect resurrected life. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Okay? "If we have been united with him in a death like his," there's the cross again, yeah? "If we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." What that's saying is that just as Jesus was raised up with a perfect body to live a perfect eternal life with the Father, so too will his people. Yeah, because of the cross, you are guaranteed a perfect life that will never end. A life filled with perfect relationships, a life where there's no pain, a life where there's no suffering, a life of total and complete fulfillment and meaning, a life in a beautiful, perfect world where there's no bushfires or anything like that. Now, when I think about that, that makes me pretty happy. That gives me joy. Now, it's true, there's lots that's hard about being a Christian. And I'm sure if you've been a Christian for a while, you've found that there's things that can be really hard about being a Christian. Sometimes it can be really tough, and sometimes it can be so hard that you can find yourself just a bit overwhelmed, and it's like all the hard things become so big that they kind of, that's all you can think about. And when you think about being a Christian, you just think about hard things and you get a bit sad. But that's why it's so important that we come back to the cross of Jesus all the time, because when you come back to the cross, you're straight away reminded of all these wonderful things, all these joyful things, all these fantastic things that the cross wins for you. Yeah, there's hard things about being a Christian, but there is way more that is wonderful. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the joy that is in the cross. Thank you that Jesus died for his joy and our joy. It really is amazing that something that is so brutal and horrible could lead to such joy, and yet in your wisdom and greatness it does. And we give you glory and thanks and praise for that. Thank you that through the cross we can be forgiven and we can come into your presence right now as your beloved children. Thank you that through the cross we are being renewed and transformed and changed for the better. And thank you that through the cross we have the hope of perfect eternal lives with you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.